Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Kevin Herr, good afternoon to you. Great to have you with us, my friend.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well. We had a great time yesterday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We want to thank them for allowing us to be a part of the tournament. We want to thank them for allowing us to broadcast live from the veranda yesterday. And also for those who sat around, listened to the show, for the many callers we had.
And you,
since Poulter is the leader at the Players, some say it's the fifth major. It is, along with the PGA, the deepest field of the year. It always has the two deepest fields of the year. Because you don't have qualifiers and things like that. These are the best. This is the best of the best. Last year, Rory McIlroy and Lee Knapp, by the way, is two over at the Players at this stage. Two over par.
That does not sound good at this moment.
Kevin, he hasn't been playing well.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it's whatever the reason. You want to know what I think one of his biggest problems is?
He thinks too much?
Thinks too much.
Yeah. I heard that yesterday.
I guess we were talking about this yesterday at some point. We didn't do that on the show.
No. You told me that yesterday as we were playing. You said, you know what your problem is? You think too much.
Right. No. Well, you do. You think too much. You analyze every shot you take. You know, and yeah, that's what we're
hitting the lead. Happy couldn't be one of our two birdies of the day, I think.
And the league have made just very little progress in their contract talks. I don't think really people care, but they will care if there are mistakes made by replacement referees.
If they don't get NFL referees, what would be the replacement referee? I mean, who would, what level would they end up having to go to?
They probably would call the colleges and start moving college referees up to do games. I mean, these guys are part-time employees. The NFL does not employ full-time referees. Now, they could turn to a few elite NFL officials who have retired, NCAA officials who have retired. But they'll get this done. I mean, the next negotiating session is set for next week. I think it's going to be Thursday the 16th. And they'll have another one later this month. So right now, they're just trying to cover their bases, but October. And I think they lose out on something if they can't have something that you can eventually open up. But just my thought. Well, I mean, but I also know that should be paid happen. Because the team risk is $17 million. Kevin,
I'm asking
Ticket Oak. Okay, can't be benefit to me.
Benefit of money coming in nine done. It's less than half that the team itself is paying.
You guess actually when we're going to take the TV example. President the show in Major League
One.
Every league losing the front before
three. Then every
more Canadian transplants in Southern California than any place else. He said yes. He said, you know what? Our research also showed. They said, what's that? He said, they love Canada because they hate hockey. All right. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 1-800-609-9484 or visit online at REWfinancial.com. We're at the Sunbury Motor Studio on a Thursday afternoon on WKOK.
May means warmer weather, the official start of the summer season, and the month that we want to see you in a Kia more than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia. Looking for more gas mileage for those summer trips? Check out the 2012 Kia Rio LX. It gets 40 mpg and starts at only $15,975. How about the 36 mpg Kia Forte EX starting at $16,960? Sunbury Motors Kia also has the eye-catching built-in the USA Kia Optima, and it starts at $20,875. Sunbury Motors Kia has Sereno, Souls, Forte Coupes, and Sportages arriving daily. Plus, right now, there's financing as low as 1.9%. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. And Sunbury Motors Kia gives you an extra set of tires. Make May the month that we see you in a Kia. From Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Best bumper music in the world. We have it. No surprises, veteran campaigner. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565.
You have, you've planned a rather busy day today on the program.
Yes, we have coming up in the next half hour, we'll have Guy Gadowski, the Penn State men's ice hockey coach, on the show. Then the first opening half hour and the 4 o'clock hour, we'll have Coquise Washington, Lady Lion basketball coach. Final half hour of the show, we'll have Cale Sanderson, the Nittany Lion wrestling coach, and Patrick Chambers, the Nittany Lion men's basketball coach. We're going to have Bob Lombardi for the PIAA on tomorrow as well. Talking about all things PIAA, and I'd like to do a sit-down tonight, if I can, with Bill O'Brien. Let's get an update on how things are going for him.
Yeah, is he road-weary yet?
No, you know what? I think he's handled this pretty well. I don't think this has been really an issue for him. I think he's had a great time with it.
I mean, the way it sounds, he's been very understanding of all the questions that are coming up, and I think he kind of expects a few of them.
Sure.
And from the comments that I've heard and the different reports, he's handled it very, very well. And he's said many times how he's happy to get out and see people and see the fan base and get more of an idea of, you know, what he's into now with being a Penn State head coach.
Well, he's a people person anyway. He has a great personality. I think what people have found out is what we've been, you know, what we've found out all the time is that he's somebody that he has great sense of humor. And so he's fun to be around. Now when it's time to get out on the field, I mean, he's all business. I mean, so, you know, he's supposed to be all business. But he's a lot of fun to be around. I think that's what the fans are finding, is that he's a lot of fun to be around. And, he, you know, it also shows, it also gives them that personal one-on-one interaction, which the fans needed. This is one of those cases of, I think, in the learning process between head coach and fan base, because the fan base has had one remarkable man for 46 years. For them, this has been, you know, a get-to-know-you learning experience, and they've enjoyed it very much. And I think they found out that personality-wise, they ended up with a gem. And people say, well, you know, and he'll be the first to tell you, I haven't won a game yet. Well, guess what? 5 years from now, we're having this conversation. He will have won a lot of games. The guy can flat out coach. I mean, the guy can flat out coach. He knows his business. That's what I tried to talk about yesterday on the show when we were out at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Ed Cunningham talking about how he should relinquish the play calling part of it. Are you kidding me? Have you watched this guy call plays the last few years? Yes, I want him calling the plays. Sarah Bartlett in the news, bottom of the hour. Next half hour, Guy Gadowski as we continue with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK on this beautiful Thursday afternoon.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back here on WKOK. What a great day we had yesterday. out at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Kevin, as we mentioned in the opening segment, I believe you've almost recovered from yesterday, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm doing my stretches. As I said earlier, I found muscles that I didn't know I had.
I'm just thrilled you stretched. All right. Sport maybe you couldn't play is hockey. I mean, have you ever thought about playing hockey?
Yeah, but the problem is you have to skate. That's usually the problem with that for me.
I understand that.
Takes some coordination.
No, I understand. No, I understand that completely. So let's get to the Penn State ice hockey program, because the Penn State men's ice hockey and women's ice hockey programs be brand new. Now, this is going to be a rink that is still a year away from being finished, but because of the weather here in central Pennsylvania, they're ahead of schedule. It's a rink that's going to be open for 360 out of 365 days in a year, because we're going to use it for youth programs, high school programs, tournaments, ice skating, as well as Penn State men's and women's ice hockey. Now, Penn State is going to go into the Big Ten eventually. Now, this upcoming season, they'll be an independent as a varsity team, and they will play 15 to 20 games on the University Park campus, but they're also going to play some games at the Wells Fargo Center in Wilkes-Barre, some games at the Giants Center in Hershey, and some games at Consol Energy in Pittsburgh. The idea is to take this show around the state and expose everybody to varsity hockey. And Penn State will be an independent in varsity hockey next season. And they will still play at the Greenberg Rink for the upcoming season as a varsity team. Then in 2013-2014, when Pegula is open, a 6,000-seat arena, they'll be not only playing that non-conference schedule, but also playing 20 Big Ten games, four each against Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. On top of that, when you look at the facilities in the conference, Kohl Center is a great facility. It's a multi-purpose facility, but it's a great facility at Wisconsin. Schottenstein Center, where Ohio State plays basketball, is also where they play hockey. Mariucci, where they play hockey, is a hockey-only facility on campus, which is near Williams Arena and the football stadium in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, the two facilities at Michigan and Michigan State, respectively, are both older and under the category of being okay. And then you have this marquee palace that they'll build here, but it's 6,000 seats. It's the right size. It is 6,000 seats. And they'll also have a Big Ten hockey tournament at the end of all this, which is a great move. And when you look at Big Ten postseason play, there's not a postseason tournament in women's volleyball, for example. There is in baseball, but only the top six make it. There is in softball, but only the top eight make it. And then, of course, in men's and in women's basketball, all 12 schools are in their respective tournaments. In Big Ten hockey, all six schools will be in postseason play. The first year of the Big Ten tournament will be at the XL Center in St. Paul, home of the Minnesota Wild in 2014. They'll also bring it back there in 2016. In 2015 and 2017, this tournament will be played at the Joe in Detroit, big-time venues. I had a chance to sit down with Penn State men's ice hockey coach Guy Gadowski about where he stands with the program right now and how he's moving it forward.
As you put the pieces into place, the one thing that you're looking for is obviously to put together a team that's going to have some positional balance, recruiting balance, and so forth. Are you getting closer to achieving those kind of goals at this stage?
Well, we're getting here, but this is the first year that we get to put it together, so we're bringing in a much bigger class than you normally would because this is our first shot at it, and you can't go ahead and spend all your scholarships in 1 year. So it's a balance, and like you say, you want to keep in mind the positions. You want to keep in mind your objectives and your philosophy. You can't get all tough guys. You can't get all skaters. You've got to put together pieces of the puzzle, yet you don't have the whole puzzle to work with. So it's an interesting process. It's actually a lot of fun. And with that in mind, I think you have to really say that the foundation is the most important thing. So the players you bring in, whatever piece they are, that they love Penn State, they're Penn State people. I mean, they're very committed to academics and doing things the right way, and that's what we think we have.
You kept some of the players, obviously, from last year's team that you got a chance to know and see and understand. How much do you think they can help you in this process as you make the transition?
Well, I think a ton, and that's the fun part for me, and especially great Penn State guys like we have. I mean, they're great guys. They're really high-quality individuals, both as a hockey player and just as a person and as a student. So I love the guys we have, and getting to know them was the best part of my job, and that's the best part of my job every year. So the guys that we have that we're retaining moving forward, they're really good people. They're going to help us do that, and they understand it. They understand that it's the building of the foundation that's very, very important.
Give us an idea of the job your staff has done, because there's a lot of legwork that needs to happen.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you, but I don't, because I haven't seen them all year. They've been,
that's a good sign.
Yeah, they've been gone. They've been traveling more than I think any coaches, hockey coaches ever. Obviously, they have a brand new team that they have to recruit for with no recruits. They've been gone all year. They love it. They're very excited about building the foundation, but also to see what they get initially. And they've been working so hard. I look forward to the time when we actually get to be in one office at the same time.
You're also going to take this act on the road during the upcoming season at times. You'll play a lot of games here, 15 to 20 games here, but to take it around the state, what can that do for the program, but also for the sport itself?
I think there's a different, when we finally get to Big Ten hockey, that's going to be, you have the CCHA and the WCHA, the teams that have dominated those two powerful conferences are coming, they're the Big Ten programs. So this is going to be a power conference. And I think when you go around the state and people see what the level of hockey is, and if you look at the Minnesotas who have 19 draft choices and how many guys playing in the NHL, and you go down the line with Michigan and everything else, you understand that the quality of this hockey is the best hockey the college hockey has ever seen. So I think it's going to do a lot to educate people as to what's coming to Penn State, and as well as how you mentioned, it's not just about Penn State, it's about in hockey in general. This is a big thing. That's why the Big Ten Network is very excited about it. That's why hockey in general, everybody from the NHL general managers on down, are very excited about Big Ten hockey.
Not every sport in the conference will have a postseason tournament, and there are a couple that only will invite an upper six or an upper eight, baseball, softball being examples. The fact that all six teams will go to the postseason tournament, what does that mean in terms of moving not just the conference forward, but also moving everybody forward?
It is going to be an event for sure. And I think a lot of people in the nation are looking, they're very curious to see what is going to happen. And obviously when you get the powerful teams that we have, you look at the national championships, you've got Michigan is number one, I think Wisconsin's number four, Minnesota's number five, Michigan State's number eight in the country, and they're all going to one conference. So they want to see those teams, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how many are getting into the national tournament on their own, but to have all the Big Ten teams come to one venue, and they're going to be great venues. Joe Louis Arena, XL Center in Minnesota, I mean, they're going to be jammed, they're going to be rocking. It's going to be the top college hockey that's ever seen.
No question about that, and looking forward to it. And Kevin, that's one thing that's interesting. Look at our area. We know our area is a heavy football area, good high school basketball area. It's great wrestling area as well. Great wrestling area.
Well, and the hockey influence makes sense now with the local teams in the AHL. And, of course, Sunbury has their own ice rink, and there's a lot of youth hockey going on there too.
And what will happen is that they'll also have the ability in youth hockey, if they wish, to go in and use Pagula from time to time. That's why when I say the rink will be open 360 out of 365 days, youth hockey is going to be the great beneficiary of it. Now, let me give you a quick story about that. I grew up in a town in Connecticut, Enfield, Connecticut. It is a town that is located right on the Massachusetts border. In fact, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame is probably 5-6 miles from the house I grew up in. And my mother still lives in that house, by the way. When I was younger, when we would play hockey, and of course, all of us were Bobby Orr, when we would play hockey on a pond in a field, and that's where we would play hockey. Well, then one day they decided that they were going to take that field where that pond was, fill the pond in, and they built something called twin rinks. So they put two hockey rinks there, and they're still in that site to this day. Drove past them, in fact, on Friday night. And, they seat maybe, they're a lot like Greenberg right now. They probably see 1,000 people. But what they did is they started youth hockey. And there was a young kid oh, about, let's say, a street over from me. And I saw him all, he's like 10 years younger than I am. I saw him all the time. And this kid got into hockey, loved hockey, got into the youth program. Eventually, Craig Janney was on the 1988 U.S. Olympic team that went to Calgary and then carved out a fine long-term career with the Boston Bruins, the St. Louis Blues, and also the Edmonton Oilers. Had a long career. He was a product of that youth hockey program. And that happened when they put those rinks in. And that's what I think they feel that they can do is grow the sport by what they're doing with the rinks here. Because they'll have two sheets of ice here. This will not just be, oh, there's arena ice. There'll be a second sheet of ice that obviously both teams, the men's and women's teams, will use as practice facilities. But at the same time, those two sheets of ice give them flexibility with other programs that they have in the building.
I think the great idea about this early in the season is especially getting around and getting to different venues and opening up Penn State hockey, ice hockey, to the whole state, and then creating that kind of interest to bring them to state college.
And that's what they'll do, is they'll take the act on the road and basically introduce everybody the fact that Penn State is varsity in hockey. So they'll play at Wells Fargo in Wilkes-Barre. That's right off of I-81. They'll go down to the Giants Center, and they'll play some games there in the Hershey area. And then also at Consol Energy. Now, last year, Penn State actually participated in the Winter Classic at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. I think fans, I know they watch the Winter Classic game every year. The ratings are very strong, and you saw the NHL game between the Rangers and the Flyers this year from Citizens Bank Park, but it's all part of a full festival of hockey. And AHL teams played down there, and also college teams played down there as part of the Winter Classic on other days surrounding it. They didn't just throw the rink out there, practice, play the game, and tear the rink down. They used it for over a week. And Penn State was actually a part of it. It was a great experience to bring Penn State down to Citizens Bank Park. I think they played on January 4th earlier this year. What will happen this year with the Winter Classic is that all of us will see at Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor, the big house, where they'll have the Detroit Red Wings and the Toronto Maple Leafs playing on January 1st. But that will, by the way, be the only game I believe they play in there. I don't know if Michigan's going to play in there or not. Michigan might play in there. But all the other hockey games, believe it or not, as part of the Winter Classic, going to be played at Comerica Park in Detroit. They're actually putting up a rink there for the Winter Classic this year. So it is going to be, for Penn State, it's a big move. There's no doubt that financially, you know, the program's already endowed. The rink is going to be paid for. Two huge pluses. And that was always one of the big pluses of the Jordan Center. The Jordan Center is paid for. Jordan Center was paid for through donations and, of course, state money. I think it was like $33 million in state money. Every time they've done something, for example, with Beaver Stadium, fans don't realize that whenever you see an expansion at Beaver Stadium, no state money went into that. No state money went into Beaver Stadium. Every time something at Beaver Stadium has been done, they've taken out loans and they've paid back the loans. That's how they have expanded Beaver Stadium over the years, financially. Well, the Pegula gift means that no state money has to go into this arena. Now, they've had to clear, obviously, local hurdles to do it. You know, you have to go through zoning. You have to go through the planning commission and so forth to make sure the sidewalk's wide enough and to make sure the concourse is wide enough and to make sure there are enough. There's the literal, and I'm not kidding about this one, the percentage of female bathrooms versus the percentage of men's restrooms. There has to be a percentage. There are all these guidelines you have to follow to build a building. So they've had to go through all of that. They've had to go through all of that to get to this stage. They're there. They've dug the hole. And if you drive on Park Avenue whenever you're in town, you'll see this big area of dirt that they've filled in next to Park Avenue. That's the fill that came out of the hole they dug for Pegula. And the facility will be paid for. Just like the Jordan Center's paid for, just like they've paid back the loans now in Beaver Stadium. I mean, so it's paid for, and that's the plus. Men's ice hockey should make money. It should be a profitable venture for Penn State. It could make as much as $500,000 a year, you know, in the plaque. Now, women's ice hockey will not. Women's ice hockey will lose money. It's just the nature of the game. And you have to remember, it is a very expensive sport. How much money, for example, do you feel like you put into what Daniel does during the course of the year?
Oh, I can't even imagine with fundraisers and just equipment and gear. And I don't even know. I'd have to sit down and add it all up. It's an enormous fund.
Yet hockey is far more expensive than what you're doing.
Well, I can believe that.
Right, because it actually takes, I think, just for uniforms, equipment, and so forth, it was almost like $1,500 a player. I mean, it is a very expensive sport to be involved in, but this is going to be a fabulous step forward here at Penn State. They've waited for it for a long time. The Pegulas have made the big investment. Joe Bautista's done a great job of running it. And Guy Gadowski, whom we just heard from a few moments ago, is a fabulous coach. And by his background, I mean, when you move from Princeton to another institution, you get the academic component. All right, Steve Jones Show on a Thursday afternoon. Kevin Herr in tow. People seem to have picked up on that theme, Kevin, that you're in tow.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it means. I think I'm being drug every now and then, but I'm glad that it's not on the rough surface.
We can accommodate you.
I'm sure you could.
Back with more after this. Welcome back to the show here on WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Kevin, I want to, before we get to the top of the hour in CBS News and, of course, local WKOK News, I talked about this in the opening segment today, but I just want to get back to it. How important it is that this station understands the concept of local radio. I think we went through a period of time nationally where there was, you know, and this station carries syndicated programming as well. But with On the Mark in the Morning with Mark Lawrence, you know, the news block that's after us, this show, we bring local radio and talk right to the people all the time, as we evidenced yesterday. But it's also the fundraising component. The Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament and the funds used for the YMCA, so important. And every component of Sunbury Broadcasting is deeply rooted in the mission, of course, of entertainment. And we can debate at some point as to how entertaining you think this show is.
That might be a long debate.
We might have to have that debate with management. But we could debate that. But the fact that we are involved in the community, deeply involved in the community, that's where local radio makes both an entertainment and also an impact on the community. Yesterday, I'm driving in, and I'm listening to Mark Lawrence, and, of course, On the Mark, which I eventually then made an appearance on. You didn't come out so well in that appearance.
Yeah, there's a big surprise.
Oh, boy. And I was listening, and at one point, someone from the Sunbury Fire Company came on. It was a recorded spot. And he was talking about the fundraiser, and they're doing a car raffle, I believe.
Correct.
And they were saying that the car's a little more expensive now, and they're a little bit behind at this stage. Well, guess what? You want to know what the greatest, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest bargains any community has? That is your volunteer fire company. Your volunteer fire company. They are well-trained. They've had to throw their hearts and souls into being well-trained. And the moment you need them, you find out how great they are, how fabulous their training is, and what it means to you and your neighborhood.
And I can speak firsthand. There's long training sessions that you have to go through. It's very time-consuming, and it takes a very unique individual to be able to donate that kind of time and effort. And Sunbury, in particular, that's doing that Mustang raffle, has 6 fire companies that Mustang raffle will benefit.
So I want to get as many people on board as possible to get involved with the Sunbury Fire Company, because they do great work. They help our community exponentially, and they're always there when you need them.
And don't think that if you're not in Sunbury that those guys aren't going to help you out, because they're also on call for every fire, any major structure fire for different towns as well. As far as Danville and Sealands Grove, I mean, they're assisting all those departments as well.
So, I mean, I realize at the moment, and we'll get back next hour to talking about sports, because we still have Cale Sanderson to hear from, Coquise Washington to hear from, and Patrick Chambers to hear from. We still have them to hear from. Plus, I want to talk a little bit more, Kevin, about that ACC television deal that goes through 2027, $3.66 billion. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well.
You said B, but right? Billion.
B, wow. As in billion, yes. Big money. But in this last segment before the top, I just want to just remind everyone that it doesn't take, you know, whatever donation you make, never think that a donation you make is insignificant. Anytime you give to someone else, it is significant. Okay? The volume of it, to me, is irrelevant. It's the fact that you did it. And in getting involved with the Sunbury Fire Company and what they're trying to do with their fundraiser, volunteer fire companies are the greatest bargain any community can have. Emphasis on volunteer fire company. And the Sunbury Fire Company is an absolute gem in this community and the surrounding communities, because they all help one another. So whatever you can do, I know I'm behind it all the way. We hope you are too. And we have a lot coming up in the next hour. We have Cale Sanderson, Coquise Washington, Patrick Chambers, and much more talk. It is a Thursday afternoon on WKOK News is next.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.